You're very welcome to the service tonight. Please turn with me in your hymn book to hymn number 737. Hymn number 737. Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. 737, and we stand as we sing. We're going to unite our hearts together now in prayer. Let's just seek the Lord's face together, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach Thee humbly and reverently. We approach Thee knowing that Thou art God and beside Thee there's none else, realizing that we are only sinful creatures, sinful grasshoppers in Thy sight. Yet Thou dost love us, and we marvel at that. It thrills our hearts that God should love sinners like us. It thrills our hearts that God should provide a Saviour for us. It thrills our hearts that we're able to sing this hymn about a time when we will be free from sin. will be in heaven, delivered from all the infirmity of the flesh, all the sins of the flesh, set free from all of these things. And it's all because of Christ, because of God's amazing grace, because God saves those who repent. And glad, Lord, that thou art the one who can meet our every need. And we have many needs. While in this body, there is sin, there is temptation, there is the thought of evil that wells up within us, there is the thought of bitterness and wrath and clamour and evil speaking. All of these things are in this flesh. But we're looking forward to a day when we'll be free from this. In the flesh there's sickness, there's weakness, deterioration, sorrow, pain. Sin brought all of these things into the world. As the Children's Catechism says, they were doomed to sorrow, toil and pain, and driven from the garden. And we suffer the consequences to this day. But Christ died to save us and to give us something worth living for and something to look forward to. We praise the Lord for it. We have a wonderful Saviour, our great provider. Thou hast provided redemption and thou hast provided the harvest. Thou hast provided all that we need. Lord, we can all say there's nothing we need that we don't have. We know, Lord, there are some things that we might like that we don't have, but nothing that we need. God has provided everything. Thou art our great provider, our friend, our beloved, the one who never lets us down, the one who's with us every step of the way. For that we're truly grateful. Lord, there are people in this house tonight and they've got heavy hearts and they're worried about things. They've got burdens pressing upon them. Trials and tribulations have come. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near in the midst of it all. Draw very near to thy people. Encourage their hearts. We're living in days of great discouragement. People's hearts are down. We would say, why are we cast down, O Lord? We need thee to come to lift us up. But we're glad there is lifting up with the Lord. There's always help with the Lord. There's always grace and deliverance. Grant it, we pray. Help me tonight, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Give me a burden for the souls in this house that are not saved. Help us, Lord, all to pray, those of us who are saved, that redemption and salvation will come to this house tonight. Let it come, we pray, Lord. And bless in all of our churches. They all need thee. The blessing we long for in Ballygowan, I can say, Lord, I long for it in Port of Ogie. Bless the preacher there. Bless the word of God in Butenards and Cumber and Martyrs and Hillsborough and all around, Lord. We pray for days of God's right hand. Days of real blessing. The outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. The salvation of the lost. For this tide that's coming in, that's full of sin and wickedness and dirt and depravity, for that tide to be driven back out again, that we might see a clean beach, that we might see the cleansing power of our God once again. Come, we pray. Do our souls good. We ask these things in Christ's wonderful name. Amen, Lord. Amen. Hymn number 202. In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin. Number 202. And once again, we stand as we sing this hymn. We're now going to read some verses found in the 64th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Towards the end of Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 64. And we'll commence the reading at verse 1. Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Amen. May God be pleased to bless this public reading of his truth, the scriptures, to all of our hearts tonight. For Christ's sake. Thank you all for your attendance in the house of the Lord this evening. We're glad to welcome you and to welcome those listening online. We do appreciate you coming out this evening to worship the Lord, hear the word, and pray for the souls of those who are still outside of Christ. It's great to have you in the Lord's house for this harvest Thanksgiving service. And we are grateful for the harvest. We're truly grateful for all that the Lord has done and for all of his bountiful provision. We return thanks unto the Lord. So we appreciate your attendance. And of course, a special word of thanks to those who helped decorate the church yesterday. That is appreciated. And please note that. May God bless you for all your efforts and all you've done for the work of the Lord here. Please remember that tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning, the mothers and toddlers will be on in the church hall. Pray for this work, that God will bless it and look after those who oversee it. Then tomorrow night, the Harvest Supper service, the preacher and singer tomorrow night will be Dr. William McCrae. So we encourage you to come back tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock and hear God's servant as he ministers. And also supper will be provided in the hall, in the church hall afterwards. So you're very welcome to come for that as well. So we trust you'll be here tomorrow night, and may God come down and bless us in that service. On Tuesday at 6:45 p.m, Awana will recommence. That's a bi-weekly meeting. Wednesday night at 8,
I'll be here in God's will to take the Bible study and the prayer meeting. And then on Friday night at 8, we've been asked to mention there's an evening of prayer. It's for young people, organised by the Youth Council. It'll be held in the Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church, and the Reverend Ian Brown is the speaker. On Saturday night at 7:30, Mr. Philip Harton will be here to speak at the Youth Reach. So that's quite a busy week. We trust you'll pray for those meetings, and you'll attend and support the ones that you can attend and support. On the Lord's Day of next week, the meetings will start with the 10 a.m. Sunday School, family worship at 11:30, gospel service at 7, half an hour of prayer before both of those meetings, and the preacher next Sunday will be Mr. David Wilson, who is a licentiate of our presbytery. The Let the Bible Speak quarterly edition magazine is available on the table as you leave the service. And don't forget to pray for the sick of the church and those in need at this time. These are all of the announcements that I have for you, so we'll sing another hymn together. I'd like you to turn with me to hymn number 230. And I want you to think about the words of the hymn. It's very familiar. Sometimes what happens when a Bible reading is familiar or a hymn is familiar, we nearly go into some sort of automatic mode, an automatic pilot, go through the motions and don't really think about what we're doing, saying or singing. And that would not be good. I would really like you to think about the words of the hymn tonight, because they tie in very well with the message. So please, as we stand to sing, and I trust we'll sing heartily, give attention to what we are singing, because there's a warning in this hymn tonight. Number 230, we'll stand together as we sing. Thank you. Would you turn with me again, please, in the word of the Lord to Isaiah chapter 64. And just before we pray, we will read the verse which contains the line that we're going to think about tonight. It's verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to thee and we pray once again that thou wilt help us in the preaching and the hearing of the word. This is a spiritual work. It is not a work of man. It is not a work that man can work up. It is a work that only God can do. So please do thy work tonight, Lord. Let thy Holy Spirit come down and use this word to warn sinners that they need to be in time. O gracious God, meet with us now around the scriptures of truth, and may this word live and abide in our hearts. We pray in the Saviour's great and glorious name. Amen. Amen. It must be 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago when I spoke at a harvest in Ballygowan. And I checked my notes to see what I spoke on that time, lest I should preach the same message and you say, heard that one before. It wasn't much use back then. I was worse the second time round. Well, actually, I checked it out and I spoke that night about leaves, the future of them, the fearfulness of them, the frailty of them, and the way they were fortified, and I brought a harvest message from it. And as I was thinking about this service tonight, I couldn't get away from this line of scripture in the middle of verse 6. And we all do fade as a leaf. We all do fade as a leaf. And I thought there's a message there for Ballygowan, especially at the Sunday evening meeting. And I felt the Lord would have me prepare a message on that statement. Let's just introduce it. Let's just see what the context is for this statement. The verse, Isaiah 64 and verse 6, contains the text, but this chapter is a chapter where Isaiah is pleading for God to move. Now note that. Look at verses 1 and 2. Pleading for God to move. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Isaiah wants God to come down among his people in mighty power. A power that will be so great that it will be similar to that of the power during the second coming of Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ will rend the heavens one day. That's the request the prophet makes. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. And when God revives, he rends the heavens. But when Christ comes back, he is going to rend the heavens. And he's going to come down to this earth and strike such terror into the hearts of the unsaved that they will be crying for the rocks and the mountains to come down and fall upon them and hide them from the face and the wrath of the Lamb. As well as longing for the ungodly to tremble at God's presence, and that's his burden, that they'll tremble at God's presence, Isaiah longs that God's people would be comforted. Because, you know, there is the judgment of the Lord that comes. But God's people need to be comforted as well. We can't just preach judgment. We need to preach comfort. God is a God of mercy as well as a God of justice. And the prophet wants the people of God to be comforted. Look at verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. And folks, in that verse we see there's an amazing blessing for those who love the Lord and wait for the Lord. And many of these glorious truths about Christ, for that's where the blessing is, we understand them so clearly. But the Old Testament saints, they saw a lot of them in type and shadow. You know what it's like when you look forward to something? You know what's going to happen. You have an idea. But you haven't been to that place yet. You haven't done that thing. And you're not totally clear. But you know roughly what's going to happen. I was away yesterday doing something I'd never done before. And I was wondering what it was going to be like. Would I be able to do it? What was it going to... You know. Now, as I look back, I see it much more clearly. I understand it. Life's like that. The Old Testament saints had something of that experience. They knew Christ was coming. They knew the Anointed One was coming. God was going to send the Messiah, and he would suffer and bleed and die, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. They knew that, but they were looking forward by faith in type and shadow. And it was clear to a degree, but not totally crystal clear. But they knew who they were believing in, what was going to happen. But you and I, we look back, we know it clearly about the coming of Christ, the cross work of Christ, the compassion of Christ. We even know what he cried when he was on the cross. The Old Testament saints didn't know that, but you and I know that. We know that he said it is finished, and we know that he ascended into heaven, and we know that he's coming back in power and great glory. Isn't that comforting? I don't know about you, but Christian, I'm comforted. To know that Christ did all of that for me and he's still going to do more for me. There is comfort as we see what Christ has done, is doing and will do. And then in verses 5 and 6, Isaiah acknowledges something. We're all sinners. He wants God to come and exert his power. He wants the saints to be comforted. But he has to acknowledge we are all sinners. And while we long for the blessing of the Lord, you know, folks, we don't deserve it. We can long for it and look for it. We can't say we deserve it. When we obtain the blessing of the Lord, we obtain it through and by the grace of God alone. Because God is good. And then in the middle of verse 6, Isaiah speaks of our sinfulness and he states something. We all do fade as a leaf. Now, this ties in with the words of Romans 6 and 23. We all know that verse. We teach it in the children's meeting. We teach it in Sunday school. For the wages of sin is death. Link that with that line. We all fade as a leaf. The wages of sin is death. James 1:15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Fading like a leaf. Sin bringing death. This is something we need to understand because we are all sinners. We're all sinners. Now before I comment upon the fading as a leaf, I want to emphasize the words at the start of that statement. And we all. We all. We all fade as a leaf. What I'm going to speak about tonight will happen and is happening actually to every single one of us in this gospel meeting. Everyone without exception. Some people have strange ideas. And they even try to convince themselves that they are not dying. Well, we're all dying. We're all fading as a leaf. We are all dying at this very minute. I hear people saying things like, oh, I don't have cancer. I'm not dying. It doesn't matter whether you have it or not. You're still dying. People say, I don't have heart disease. And it's good if you don't. And you might not have it, but you're still dying. Others might say, I'm not a diabetic. And that's good. Thank the Lord if you don't have that disease. It's a very serious disease. But even if you don't have it, you're still dying. Every single person. Some say, I'm healthy. I had a health check. I went to see my doctor. Couldn't find anything wrong with me. I'm as healthy as could be. It doesn't matter. You are still dying. Even if you're the most healthy specimen in this gospel service, you're still dying. Now, You have to remember a couple of things. None of us know what we've got. Many times have you said that? I've said it many times. Some friend, someone I know, they've got bad news. And we all say, none of us know what we've got. Sure we don't. That's right. We don't. And also there's another thing. What does the Bible say? It's appointed unto men once to die. You'll only die once, but die you will. We'll all die. We read in Job 14 and verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. There's a boundary, you'll never pass it. And neither will I. I was reading a biography of a very, very famous businessman today. And he's so, so rich, doesn't know what to do with the money. And his family didn't know what to do for his 70th birthday. So they decided that they would send him to Harley Street, to one of the top specialists in the world. And this clinic had the very best equipment in the world. It cost an absolute fortune. But they said, Dad, you're going to be checked out. And when they check you out, they're going to know everything about you. And it was said after he got his check, he was so happy. They found nothing. As I read that biography, I was just thinking, there's a man who is a multi-millionaire. And everybody in the world knows his name. And he was rejoicing. They found nothing. And no doubt thinking, that guarantees me another decade, maybe a couple. What a fool. He needs to know what the Bible says. We all do fade as a leaf. As a leaf. We're all fading. Every single one of us. I've been listening to some of the chat in this last couple of weeks, and I suppose I'm aware of this because I have 4 young grandchildren. And you know what wee ones are like when it gets to this time of the year. One of them's only 4, but was able to tell me last weekend, Granda, it's 12 weeks to Christmas. Brilliant, that's good. That means 11 weeks right now and the whole thing will all be over. Isn't that right? It'll be passed again for another year. 11 weeks tonight. All over. You see, things come and things go. But you know something, as I thought about what my granddaughter said, started to meditate upon it and I thought, well, you know, I am more sure of dying than I am of seeing Christmas. What do you mean by that? I'll tell you what I mean. I might see Christmas and I might not, but I will die. That's for sure. So I'm more sure of dying than I am of seeing Christmas in 10 weeks and 6 days' time. Do you realize that? Do you realize you're fading like a leaf and you don't know when that day is going to come? You just don't know. Well, tonight I want to bring a few thoughts to your attention. I pray you'll listen. I want you to listen. Some thoughts about this fading leaf, because we're all doing it, so we all need to think about it. We all do fade as a leaf. The first thing I want to say to you about the fading of a leaf, it is natural. It's a natural process. Come this time of the year, it is perfectly natural for leaves to fade. We can't slow the process down. We can't stop it. We can't do one thing about it. I was coming down the road this evening to church. The wind was blowing, the rain was blowing, and I noticed thousands more leaves blowing up the side of the road. They have faded. They're off the trees. The leaves have changed colour. And no matter what we do, they will come down. they will fade. It's a natural, normal process. It has happened from the Lord promised seed time and harvest, and it will continue until the Lord comes back. The leaves will fade. It's natural. They wear out. A bit like a car. It wears out. The longer you keep the car, you start to realize the engine's not just as efficient. Not just as smooth. Doesn't have just as much power, and the power delivery is not what it used to be. The clutch is not as sensitive, burned out. Gearbox, struggle for the gears. Thermostat doesn't always get the temperature up to the required temperature just as quickly. Batteries, they go flat. Things go wrong. It happens. But you know, the outside of the car might look okay. Paint works good. They don't rust the way they used to. Sure they don't. Do you remember the big holes in the wing? The panels filled with eyes upon? Don't see that anymore. What? They look better. And if there are no big dings in the door, no chips out of the bonnet, no rust, look okay. But they're still worn out. Not what they used to be. There was a visiting preacher at our house for lunch one Sunday, and he looked out and he saw my wife's car. That's a lovely car. What age is that car? Nosy thing, saying the question, asking the question again. But anyway, she didn't mind saying, she didn't care. She says, 10-year-old. What? I thought it was 3 or 4. Ah, but Samuel washes it every Saturday, inside and out. It gets a lick of polish 4 or 5 times a year, and his car as well. He believes in looking after a thing. Oh, he's looked after that one. And he said, I can't believe that. It looks great for the age of it. I can't say it's got 120,000 miles on it. It doesn't look too bad. But I have noticed it's not just as smooth as it used to be. Now, I'm banking on doing another 120, but we'll see. But you know what I mean? It's just not what it used to be. It's fading. The leaves fade. The cars fade. People fade. It's natural. You see, friends, the autumn and the winter of life comes to us all. And even if you and I are blessed with long life, the winter is coming. It's coming to us all. You can't stop the natural process. Whenever King David was dying, you know what he said to his son Solomon? 1 Kings 2 and verse 2, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong therefore and show thyself a man. I'm going the way of all the earth. Solomon, just because I'm the king, don't think I'm going to outlast my peers. I'm not. I'm going the same way they're going. And we know that because even recently we lost our queen. And I suppose since most of us never knew anyone else on the throne, only Her Majesty, while we knew it would happen, we still kind of thought she'll always be there. I know it was foolish to think that, but we did. But kings have to die. Queens have to die. And you and I have to die as well. We're fading. The question is this. Are you ready for it? It's a natural process. Are you ready for death? Not only is it a natural process, I want to say in the second place, it's very, very noticeable. We all do fade as a leaf. No one has to be told the leaves are fading and dying. No one has to be asked, did you see that? The leaves are fading. No, we all see it. It's very, very noticeable. When you drive down the road where it used to be green, you see red, orange, yellow. It stands out. It's very noticeable that the leaves are fading. It's as clear as the nose in our faces. Everywhere you go, right now, you see it. When you see those leaves changing colour. Remember, the leaves are fading. And it's always noticeable when we get older. It is. Some of you I haven't seen for a while, but now I'm back among you for a short time until you get your own minister. Don't take it personally, but you're getting older. So am I. So am I. No doubt about that. It's happening to us all. It's very, very noticeable. I read a few lines that explain how we can know we're getting older. Certain things become noticeable. What are they? I'll just mention a few of them. Everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. You bend, your knees buckle, but your belt won't. So that was a good one. Dialing long distance wears you out. And this one here was a cracker. I tested it out with my wife to see whether I get a wallop, and I didn't, so I thought I'll be safe enough in Ballygowan. The little grey-haired lady you help across the street is your wife. That's what happens. Look, it happens to us all. It was also King David who said, I have been young, and now I'm old. I was young, but I'm an old man now. And David was neither too proud nor too foolish to admit that he was an old man. It was so noticeable. He wasn't trying to hide it. He wasn't trying to disguise it. It was a fact. He was now an old man. Old. And just in case anyone is annoyed at what I'm saying about being old, I'm getting old as well. I am. I'm 57 years of age. I'm on the slippery slope. I'm on the wrong side of 35. That puts me in the slippery slope. So I'm not saying anything about you that I don't apply to myself. Being 57, that means 81% of my 70 years has gone. It's in the past. I'm not getting it back. That also means if I'm spared to 70, I only have 19% of my life left. That's if I'm spared to 70. Just 19%. That's all that's left. I mightn't even see 58. Do you realise that? Do you? I want you to realise it. Because at 57, if 81% of my 70 years is gone, what does that mean for those who are in their 60s? What if you're in your 70s or your 80s? You know the old saying years ago, I don't hear it as much as I used to hear it when I was a lad, but you're on borrowed time. That's the saying that was always used. You're on borrowed time. That means you haven't much time left. It's very noticeable, isn't it, when we start to get old. Have you noticed it? Are you ready to leave this world? Are you ready to die? Are you saved? Not only is this leaf going through a natural process, fading, not only is it noticeable, it's obvious to you all, I've called the third point, it's something that's very nippy. What does he mean by that? Well, I use the word nippy in the sense that it's quick, it's rapid, it's fast. You know when a young fella gets a new car, he just passes the test, and he buys his first free motor, which is real nippy. That's what he used to say anyway. Well, this fading is very nippy. It's very fast. It always seems that it's no time from the leaves are green and full of life until they turn brown and drop down dead. It's no time at all. It happens very quickly, actually almost overnight. We go to bed one night and the trees are green. We wake up the next day and they're brown. It happens quickly. And we all fade quickly in the end. We all do. I've seen people slip from, what I would call relatively good health to extremely bad health, maybe even a deathbed, in no time at all. It doesn't take long. A healthy leaf, 1 minute, a decaying leaf the next. There's an example of that in the Bible. I want to read to you from Acts chapter 12. Listen to the reading from verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto them, and the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. That man was struck down very, very quickly. Do not think that just because you're healthy today, that you've got another year, or another 5, or another 10, or another 20. Don't think it, friend. You don't know. Death can come very, very quickly. Very quickly indeed. That's why it's important that you make preparation very quickly. That's why it's important you get saved. You do not know when you'll be taken away from the scene of time. Isn't it devastating what happened in County Donegal with that explosion? As the news started to get through, and the number of the people who died became a fact, and it was reported clearly, I don't know how you felt. I was shocked to the core that people in a wee shop, in a supermarket, could be taken into eternity so quickly. Devastating. Ah, you say it's only a very small percentage of the population ever faces a death like that. I know. I know. But I'm saying to you tonight, not one of us here has a clue what's around the next corner for us. Not one of us. The fading of the leaf, it's natural. It's very noticeable. It's a very nippy thing. But finally, very quickly, it is not reversible. It's not. You can't take a dead leaf and restore its colour, give it back life, and stick it back on the tree again and cause it to grow. That's not the way it works. It's not reversible. Once it is dead, that's it. That's it. There's a finality about it, isn't there? Yes, there is. I read a wee poem. It goes like this. Thought I'd let my doctor check me, 'cause I didn't feel quite right. All those aches and pains annoyed me, and I couldn't get to sleep at night. He could find no real disorder, but he couldn't let me rest. What with Medicare and Blue Cross, it wouldn't hurt to do some tests. To the hospital he sent me, though I didn't feel that bad. He arranged for them to give me every test that could be had. Doctors came to check me over, prodded and pushed and poked around, and to make sure that I was living, they wired me up for sound. They have finally concluded, their results have filled a page. What I have will someday kill me. My affliction is old age. I thought to myself, yeah, that summarizes what I'm trying to say. This is irreversible. It's coming. It can't be avoided. Folks, we're all going to die. Just like the leaf, we're all going to fade. But the important thing is this. Where are we going to go when we die? I tried to show you and convince you that you need to realize death is coming. But what about life after death? Yes, there is life after death. There's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. Whenever you die, if you're saved, you go to heaven. Whenever you die, if you're not saved, you go to hell. So it's one or the other for you. One or the other. I ask you tonight, if death should come tonight, if it should come tonight, where would you be? If you're not saved, I have to warn you, you will be lost forever in hell. If you are saved, you will be forever with the Lord. And I want you to let that sink in. This is the gospel. And Christ died on the cross to save you from hell and take you to heaven, to deliver you from your sin. He shed his blood to cleanse you from all your sin. He died to redeem you. So what are you going to do about your soul tonight? If you're not saved, prepare to meet thy God, for we're all fading as a leaf. And not one of us knows when that leaf's going to blow off the tree. Not one of us knows. So I ask you, consider your latter end. Where will you spend eternity? You can make sure it's heaven tonight if you come to Christ and be saved. I trust you will. If you want to speak to me after the meeting, I'll be here. I'll be here for a few moments. I'll not rush away. If you feel a burden in your heart to get right with God, if you feel that God has spoken to you and it's time to prepare, it's time to settle the matter once and for all, then you do it tonight. Don't wait until tomorrow. Do it tonight. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Father in heaven, I do thank thee this evening that there is a warning in the Bible for us, and we must take heed to the warnings of God. We must do that, Lord. I pray that those who are not saved will get saved. I pray, Lord, that they'll realize there's but a step between them and death, and they need to be ready to meet God. So, Father in heaven, undertake for each one. Have thine own way. Speak to the lost and save them. And separate us from this house in thy fear and with thy favour. These things we pray in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.